Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody had an absolutely blessed weekend. Hope you enjoyed the show on Friday. I was on with Doug Hagman. Great show as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Back up here in North Carolina, camping out in the RV, so trying to have some cool weather for the summer hits up here, and it gets hotter than it gets in Florida for some places up here. So we're actually enjoying it. It rained here for like 10 days straight, so everything's a mud pit. So we're kind of splashing around in the mud, bud. But this is a beautiful day. It's the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice, and I shall be glad in it. Austin, what's your first story, bud?
Well, first one that I wanted to bring up here is I thought this was quite interesting. It's gotten very little media attention. But as you know, we hear the rhetoric and hoorah, hoorah about, you know, the illegal immigration going to be stopped at any time, and Trump's constantly tweeting out that he's about to do something about it, or, you know, don't get, what did he say with a tweet over the weekend, you know, don't get comfortable here, deportation and new laws going to be enacted soon, and which is kind of a joke to me, because as everybody has already seen, not even with Trump, not even with Obama, for the past four, five, six presidencies, even under any illegal immigration, once illegals get here, it's virtually impossible to find them and extract them back out of the country once they mold into the fabric of society. And as we now know, as of last month, it was the highest month of illegal immigration to the southern border since 2007. We now have roughly 105 to 110,000 illegal immigrants crossing the southern border every single month now. It has gotten so bad in Texas, and now we are facilitating it, as you guys know, by once they get over the border, the U.S. military is there to feed them, clothe them, house them, protect them, and then transport them to the closest city, essentially in that area, a lot of that being in Texas and Arizona, New Mexico, and of course California. Well, now they are getting so overrun in these cities. As I talked to you guys about last month, El Paso has been getting anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 migrants every single month at minimum. That's just El Paso. Many other cities are getting bombarded to the point they cannot handle the influx. Well, now Florida apparently was notified last week, and Governor Ron DeSantis said Friday he is opposing the federal government shipping plane loads of migrants from the southern border to Broward and Palm Beach County. This is something that came out of the agency, DeSantis says, referring to the Border Patrol. He says, ultimately, this is something I'm going to have to talk to the president about. He said he strongly opposes the idea. He said, we cannot accommodate in Florida just dumping unlawful migrants into the state. It's going to tax our resources, our schools, our health care, our law enforcement, our state agencies, and our roadways. He talked about the information that was leaked out to him last week that county officials said the Trump administration was preparing to move migrants from overcrowded camps along the U.S. border to the two South Florida counties. The Broward and Palm Beach County officials said they were told to expect two plane loads of migrants every single week starting in 2 weeks. They said roughly 270 to 300 weekly passengers, at minimum 1,000 a month, would be split going each half to each county. And this is quite troubling to me, because I don't understand this concept. As everybody continues to go, hoorah, hoorah, Trump's going to save the day, I don't understand why we're actually taking resources to not only house them once they get here, you know, but I understand a little bit of that aspect. They get across the border, they're put in a detention camp, and then the idea would be to send them back to the country of origin. But that obviously is, you know, maybe too difficult, because they don't want to send a plane back into Mexico, so they're going to bust them back. Okay, I get some of that. But now we're actually going to pick them up at the Texas border, house them in housing, in Texas housing, as far as migrant housing, and then go through the arduous process of loading them up on planes every single week and flying them all the way from Texas to Florida, which, by the way, if you guys haven't looked at a map lately, that crosses the Gulf of Mexico. That's not a quick little hop. That's not a 10-minute flight. that's going to be a significant amount of jet fuel, not to mention a significant amount of time with pilots flying back and forth from Florida to Texas when they could very easily fly right down to Mexico and drop a lot of these individuals off. So this is quite troubling to me. DeSantis apparently doesn't like it at all either. And again, while this is all going on, we hear Trump tweeting about how all these migrants are going to be ejected out of the state and ejected out of the country, and don't worry, new laws are coming soon. We're going to set new immigration laws up, and this won't happen anymore. But now we're about to start receiving an additional minimum 3,000 to 2,000 migrants every single month in the state of Florida. Now, here's a theory that I've kind of thought up about this, and I'll have Dad chime in a second. Florida has been and will always be one of the largest swing states in any general election. They know that they've continually had to fudge the numbers and do the best they could to make as many illegals vote, to fudge the voting, to put dead voters in, to put anybody they can on the roster to vote, to push in their Democratic communist agenda. And this isn't just with the presidency. This is also with a lot of the elected officials from the counties, from the states, the Congress, the Senate, all the way up the food chain. Florida, they know, has to be turned into a full-blown blue state. California is pretty much useless in most of the elections, not to mention the state itself is borderline useless. They've ruined the state. California is ruined, in my opinion. It was a beautiful state. It was a vibrant state. It used to be a prosperous state. It was an incredibly flourishing state. They have great food out there. They had great weather out there. And now, I mean, you go to San Francisco and some of these other areas, it's full-blown tent cities everywhere you go. And it's not just migrants over there. It's citizens. It's U.S. citizens that are living in tents because they cannot physically pay for everything in California because the taxes and inflation have become so high due to the communist agenda in California, which is what their goal was. That is what, in my opinion, they're trying to do in Florida now. So they have to get as many voters in Florida as they can. That's why they brought in Puerto Ricans, which, by the way, they had the right to come here. It's a 51st state. But again, they know a lot of the Puerto Ricans vote Democrat. I told you guys that a couple weeks ago when I went to Daytona, and I was full-blown minority there. People go, oh, you're just exaggerating. No, I was a full-blown minority, a white male in Daytona Beach. I was a full-blown minority, which is quite troubling to me considering the fact this is still Florida. But I digress. So what we're seeing now is complete lies and rhetoric from the Trump administration. You guys know I'm a fan of Trump. I voted for Trump. I supported Trump. I still support the presidency of the United States. But what we're seeing now is fake hope, fake words, fake agenda, simply to keep the population at bay so we do not start going in an uprival right now and saying, we're not going to deal with this. We're not going to allow this many people to overtake our country anymore. We keep hearing Nero going, oh, well, new laws coming soon, new migrant laws coming soon, deportations coming soon. Don't worry about it. It's all coming soon. You guys need to wait and trust the plan. Well, now DeSantis has been notified that the two most Democratic counties in Florida are now about to start receiving 1,000 at minimum migrants every single month due to the immigration problem that we're seeing at the southern border. So I just want to kind of start off with that and let you guys realize there's other things that are going on right now besides the Kim Kardashians and all the other mainstream media news that they like to blast out on the television on a regular basis. There are real issues at hand, and we need to address them and really look at what is going on, Dad, and not just buy into the mainstream media garbage that they're constantly spewing to us.
Well, Austin, that was very well said. The problem we have is that we've got a president, and we talked about this last week, so I don't want to be redundant on this, who basically is Rothschild, democratically, socialistically, communistly owned. I mean, it's just, you know, Wilbur Ross, basically, Commerce Secretary, Rothschild agent, bailed Trump out back in the 80s with all of the debt with the Rothschild banking cartel. Trump is not who you think he is. I mean, he really, I believe, had an agenda to make America great again, and yep. He thought he could do this and not have these guys come in and basically control him like they have. And for the first 6 months, you know, he really tried. He did. I mean, he even had the evangelicals come in there and pray for him, made a cover of the magazine, I think it was Newsweek, you know, laying hands on him, praying for him. And that's all changed. I mean, the evangelicals have not been invited back into the White House now the Chabad have, okay?
Yep.
But not the evangelicals. And that's what people don't understand. I've got a pastor friend of mine who was one of the ones who prayed for him up there. And just the other day, you know, Trump came out, you know, and he's got this sodomite that, you know, he's promoting and that he likes. It's Trump on Pete Buttigieg's marriage to a man. Okay. And Trump's quote is, "I think it's absolutely fine." I mean, the guy is whatever. And then this article goes into saying how he's getting his directive from these different preachers who basically don't really know much about any of this stuff. And then it goes on to say, he says, "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." But Trump doesn't see that. Trump doesn't see that. And we talk about this in length. But, you know, this sodomite Pete Buttigieg, I mean, he's married to a guy, and Trump thinks that's okay. You think, well, so I sent that to a friend of mine who was in that meeting back 2 years ago in the White House, because he's still a big pro. He drank the Kool-Aid. He's still a big pro-Trump guy. I sent it to him this weekend. And the pastor texts me back and says, "Oh, he just likes to yank the chain of the media." And I'm like, implying that Trump doesn't believe that. And I texted him back and I said, "Are you like on the same page here? I mean, do you not understand that Trump was a Democrat for years and years and years and years? I mean, he worked in the mafia, the Jewish mafia in New York. I mean, he's a Democrat and he became a Republican and then he ran for president. He was pro-choice with all the abortion stuff. Anybody would get an abortion anytime they want, he didn't care. And now all of a sudden he's like even telling these people over in Alabama, you've gone too far. You know, you should be able to have these certain types of abortions whenever you want to have them." And Alabama says, "No, we don't want that." And, you know, and Pat Robertson, who many people believe is a Masonic leader from the 700 Club, he comes in and says basically, you know, they've gone too far. Well, you know, we either believe in pro-life or we don't. And then Trump comes in and says this guy, this gay guy, this sodomite married to this other sodomite, that they basically are okay. And so I sent this other thing to my pastor friend, because he wouldn't believe any of it. And finally he goes, I said, "This is from the Washington Times, and it says it's from November the 2nd, 2016, right before the election. It says, 'Donald Trump holds high the flag for gay equality. Republican nominee Donald J. Trump made history Sunday, and the political media barely noticed, or maybe they did see it. On Sunday at a rally in Colorado, Mr. Trump probably held up a rainbow flag.'" Listen to me, people, friends, my friends, my family. "On Sunday at a rally in Colorado, Mr. Trump proudly held up a rainbow flag with the words 'LGBT for Trump' written on it to a cheering crowd of thousands. It was a historic moment for gay equality in the party of Lincoln as the 2016 GOP nominee for president of the United States held high the flag for gay equality. No other Republican presidential nominee in history has embraced the LGBT community in such a loud and proud way." Guys, this guy was a hardcore Democrat almost his entire life. He came to this level because he wanted to get elected as a Republican. The other day, Saturday, I was talking, texting Brad and Gene, and I was looking at Candace Owens, and she's marrying a boy from Oxford, got involved with Oxford. And Candace Owens was basically banned on Facebook. Now she's back on Facebook. And she said some pretty good things. I mean, I like Candace Owens as far as the things that she says. And then I started realizing what Otto Kahn said, how we control both sides of the narrative. And I started seeing that Candace Owens is the opposite of Cortez. Think about what I'm saying, friends. Cortez up in New York is a Jewish Hispanic. Candace is a black, you know, Republican, okay? Candace comes out and says one thing, or Cortez says another thing, and it's the yin and the yang of how they balance the energy as far as the positive and the negative stuff going back and forth all the time. You think, well, Ted, you're overthinking this. Candace Owens is a good person. I'm not saying she's not a good person. I'm just telling you, you probably need to question her motives. I mean, how did she get banned off of Facebook? Suddenly is back on Facebook again. Okay, you know, I got banned on YouTube. I'm not back on YouTube. Of course, I haven't really tried because I don't really care, but because I'm not going to have them hold me captive by social media. But think about it for a second. Candace Owens marrying a boy from Oxford, engaged to him from Oxford. Okay, Oxford, England. Isn't that kind of controlled by the Rothschilds? Yeah, that's right. It is. Isn't that where the Rhodes scholarships come from? Yeah. Wasn't it the Oxford Press that printed the Scofield Bible? Yeah, it was those guys too. So you think, come on, Ted, can it be this weird? Is Candace Owen actually, you know, and ask yourself a question, guys. You know, I've been around now in media for, oh my gosh, for 30, 35 years, starting on the health stuff back in the 80s and starting this show 6 years ago and having appeared on thousands and thousands of interviews as a guest over the years. I have a pretty big internet presence, but I'm not Candace Owens. They're not inviting me on Fox News. They're not doing that. I mean, ask yourself a question. We know the Rothschilds control Fox News. We know that. And so the Rothschilds are allowing Candace Owens to be on Fox News. Remember Glenn Beck? Glenn Beck started talking about the Federal Reserve Bank on Fox News, on Fox, and all of a sudden he was gone like in a week, you know, just throat got out and going on. Now, I'm not a big Glenn Beck fan, but even a blind squirrel will find an acorn every once in a while. He says he has some pretty good stuff too. But these guys are controlling the narrative in both directions. I personally believe Candace Owens is controlled opposition to the Democratic Party. I believe she's been given a platform to put her up really, really high, given her all this major media covers. And I believe when she was taken off Facebook, Facebook even said it was a mistake. That's what they said. All of a sudden, they got probably called on the carpet, and they probably were told, hey, you can't do this. This girl, you know, works for us. I knew of another radio talk show host who basically I'm not going to mention any names. Gosh, I've got to be so careful when I say this stuff. They're dead now, so I'm still not going to mention any names out of respect for her listeners. Basically, I had her ex-husband write me a letter one time and, you know, and say that, you know, by the way, you need to know this about so-and-so, that, you know, she was getting a dishonorable discharge and the FBI came to her from the military and went to her, well, she was in the military, and said, we'll get rid of the dishonorable discharge if you come in as a disinformation agent. This is what the husband told me. And I can't verify that, so I'm not going to mention any names. But the thing about it is, think about this for a second. How much of what we hear and see, I mean, there's another guy, I'm not going to mention his name. You know, when he was basically, he said he threatened to kill a federal judge, okay, he's a talk show host, and then during his court proceedings, he comes right out and says, I work for the FBI, you can't put me in jail. I work for the FBI, I work for them. And he ended up going to jail for a little bit, came back out of jail, after he admitted, it's on his Wikipedia page, that he worked for the FBI as an informant. And all of a sudden it comes back out, now he's basically coming out with all this crazy stuff all the time, and a lot of alternative people are quoting this guy. And every time he says something, Austin, I can't come in and find any other source that verifies what he's saying. And one time I made a mistake and sent some stuff to some of my friends around the world. Said, oh, look what's happening over here. You guys need to pay. And they said, email me back. He said, none of this is happening. This is all a lie. This guy's making stuff up. And I'm like, whoa, step back. And at that point, I started questioning this guy. So be very, very careful who your sources are. Be very, very careful on who you listen to. I mean, think about it for a second. Here I've been around. I'm 63 years old, been doing media for 35 years, and I can't get the kind of coverage that Candace Owens gets. I've said the same kind of stuff that she said, but she's been given a lightning track as far as media exposure. Anytime you get to a point, I'll be very careful what I say, you get some of these alternative news people. As long as they're promoting the narrative that they want pushed, they get all of this exposure. Once they start talking about the truth and what's really going on, they're blacklisted. Or once they lose the people, once they lose their ability to talk to people without having all this other stuff come up about them online, they lose their ability. They're cut loose too. So always listen to your sources. Be very, very careful with what you believe. If you can't get third-party verification on what you're reading and what you're hearing about, you probably need to not quote it because there's a high probability it's not real. That's how messed up the alternative news is now. So I just want to give you the idea that Donald Trump held up a gay, lesbian, sodomite flag in Colorado in 2016 before the election. He's pro-choice on abortion. Now, he may not be full-term abortion choice, what he's saying right now, but he used to be pretty much open abortions when he was a Democrat. When did all this change? When did he get born again? When did he accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? People say, well, he's not Christian. God didn't need a Christian man in the White House. They just needed a man who would do God's will. Okay, is this God's will? Ask my friends, listen to me. Is this God's will? He has no intentions on stopping any of this immigration. This is just hope porn that he's putting out. Austin's right. That's all this is. false hope. He's putting out stuff right now. Oh, just calm down. You know why he's doing this? You know why he's saying this? How these laws are going to be passed? How's he going to get laws passed through a democratically controlled Congress to stop immigration? He can't do that. It'll never make the floor. He's lying. The Democrats want Florida to be a doggone Democratic state. They don't want Republicans down here. That's why they're busting them in and shipping them in and flying them in. He can't override that. He's not going to be able to do that. I'm going to make laws. No, he's not. He can't. See, he doesn't want to. He could have probably with a Republican-controlled Congress and Senate, but remember what? He couldn't get Obamacare canceled from that because they don't want that done. This man is an imposter in the White House. He had a chance, but freedom of will, he decided he was going to do whatever he wanted to do, including promoting the sodomite lifestyle and never, ever trying to stop this mess with this immigration coming into the United States. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, that's very well said. And one thing you always have to look at from an outside approach, listen to this closely, guys. Whenever you have alternative media people or people that are on the right and they begin to get so much coverage on the mainstream media talking about the left-right polarity, you need to really question whether or not these guys are true constitutional patriots or if they're simply up there just being a distraction for what's really going on. Because remember, that's what majority of all this is. It's a distraction. It's a distraction to keep people from looking at the real problems. That's why Candace Owens, she always talks about the Democrats are doing this and they're doing this and this racist thing back and forth and all this other stuff going on. But quite frankly, a lot of the topics she brings up, she is correct on it. I think she has a good stance as far as from a conservative standpoint. But it's bubblegum for the brain. There's no significant meat and potatoes to it. All it is fodder. It's a distraction to keep people constantly talking about what Candace Owens says, and then what Cortez says, and then what Owens says again, and then what Cortez says, and then what Trump tweets. It's all a distraction. And again, we have DeSantis, who I think honestly is a pretty good constitutionalist. He obviously has ties with Israel, considering what he did last month that I was very disappointed about. But from his background and what I've seen from him, I think he's a pretty good constitutionalist. Now, whether or not he gets compromised the same way that Rick Scott was fully compromised by the end of his governorship, I don't know if that's going to happen. But the fact that DeSantis came out with this publicly on Fox News in Florida and said he's not okay with this and he does not want this happening, when, quite frankly, there has been no reports in the mainstream media. If you guys have noticed, there were no reports in the mainstream media about migrants getting shipped to Florida. Nobody's brought that up at all. Now, all of a sudden, DeSantis drops the bombshell on it, and everybody goes, oh, well, you know, we'll see what happens. Then, all of a sudden, Trump comes out with a tweet the next day and says, we have all these laws that are going to be in place for these migrants. Don't worry. They're going to be deported soon. Don't get comfortable here. That's what's going on. I think DeSantis broke the narrative because he wasn't supposed to bring up what's going on right now over here. So, again, look at what people are actually talking about. Look at, like that's it. We start talking about the Federal Reserve. You start talking about the unconstitutional aspects of IRS, not even being a part of the United States government, being a private entity, the same as the Federal Reserve Bank. Now you start getting on some topics. Now you start waking people up. They go, no, you can't talk about that. Back over here, right, left. You need to see what Cortez says. You need to see what, you know, all these other people are saying. This is what you need to, you know, Owens, what she said. Focus on that. Don't look it over here. That is what we constantly see. Also, too, in other news, we should know that definitely a troubling time when Switzerland now has now agreed and voted to start enacting incredibly tight gun laws in Switzerland. Yes, that is the country that pretty much still at current time allowed their militia population, essentially the United States, or not the United States, the Swiss military, had the boys at 18 years of age do 2 years of military service. They all have select fire machine guns in their house. They're all well-trained and well-armed to defend their country. Now, Europeans haven't had a great experience with referendums lately, but Switzerland has proven to be an exception for some odd reason. On Sunday, May 19th, Swiss voters overwhelmingly agreed to enact stricter gun laws to comply with changes in the European Union regulations. Switzerland is not even an EU member, but it is part of the open border Schengen area. If it had not changed its gun laws to align with the new EU regulations, the country would have jeopardized its status. This would impose passport restrictions on Swiss citizens traveling within the EU and massively raise the cost of trading Swiss goods and services within the zone. Provisional results have showed already that 64% of the Swiss voters have voted in favor of tightening gun laws. This is extremely troubling. Because, as you guys know, weapons, automatic weapons, semi-automatic weapons training has been part of the Swiss population for generations. Under the new law now, certain kinds of even semi-automatic firearms will be banned. Swiss gun owners will need to justify why they need a gun and secure a special permit just to buy a semi-automatic rifle. This is absolutely crazy. And the troubling part about this is now is that when you start seeing a country like Switzerland turn over their firearms, that means they're coming for the United States next, guys. Switzerland has never disarmed, ever. And now they're agreeing to let their civilian population be disarmed. They're probably still going to maintain their military that they have there. But at the end of the day, the military is only as good as the government allows it to be. If the government becomes corrupt, they don't have any take in it. That's it. You're done. Once you're disarmed, you are at the mercy of whoever runs you and controls you. That is a fact. That is a known fact for generations and civilizations since the beginning of time. When you are disarmed and you do not have the means to protect yourself or your family or your country, you do whatever they tell you to do, because you may not be scared of them, but you probably are going to be scared what they're going to do to your two-year-old daughter, or what they're going to do to your five-year-old son, or what they're going to do to your wife, and you submit to them. And that has been happening for generations upon generations once a population is completely disarmed. Now that Switzerland is going along with this, get ready, because the fodder, the media coverage, the narrative is going to be right in line for the United States now to follow the UN agenda of full disarmament, and that will be coming next. Look at what happens in the UK now. You know, the UK is completely disarmed. They have no ability to defend themselves whatsoever. Now the UK police are so out of control with facial recognition software and policing, all because for the protection, which quite frankly I see how bad it's gotten over there with the migrants and the Muslims. The Muslim population is borderline taken over England and UK now. I mean, it's essentially a Muslim country, just like a lot of these other countries are now. But now, UK pedestrians, and granted, there's no reports of Muslims getting fined. UK pedestrians now are getting fined and arrested for attempting to cover their faces when they're passing these controversial facial recognition camera vans now in London. The notorious London police vans scan all the faces of passerbys and compare them to a database of wanted criminals. So they have these vans now, these mobile vans that are driving around London, that they park in the middle of the street with cameras all around it. Cameras. Boom, 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 cameras all around it. Every single person in the vicinity that it can view, it pulls your facial recognition. Bam. Picture of you. Runs it through a database. Sees if you're a bad person or if you have a warrant or if they want to do something to you. One man wasn't having it last week. He saw the controversial van, he covered his face up, and pulled his hat down with his jacket. London police immediately stopped him in the middle of the street, forced him to have his picture taken anyways, and then arrested him and fined him because he refused to take his jacket off. He went on to say, "If I want to cover my face, I'll cover my face. Don't push me over when I'm walking down the street," the man said after the stop. However, it did not matter. London police arrested him, handcuffed him, and forced him to be photographed. Apparently, the ticketing comes in the wake of another similar incident last month, in which another man refused to be photographed by one of the facial recognition fans and was also fined the £90. He simply pulled up the top of his jumper over his face and put his head down and walked past. Immediately, law enforcement stopped him and forced him again to take his photo. This is what happens when you have a tyrannical government. UK is a perfect example of that, and this is what happens in a tyrannical government when you allow yourself to be disarmed. You now have the Gestapo London police stopping you in the middle of the street if you refuse to have your facial recognition software or facial recognition effects taken by these cameras and logged in the giant database. All at the same time now, we see all over Europe, Germany, another report of a 26-year-old migrant who essentially had been staying with a German family, out of the niceness of their heart, has stabbed their 11-year-old son almost to death. death while shouting, "Die, die, die." He is now being arraigned in court. The family dog eventually saved his life. He bit the attacker. Paul, the 11-year-old boy, was able to free himself and run out of the house. Abdurrahim did not stop chase until the boy stopped the car along the road. Paul was seriously injured in the neck, arms, and legs. He had to undergo emergency surgery. He had lacerations that were around 6 inches long all the way across his neck. The boy's mother said, "We have no idea why this happened. We always tried to help Abdurrahim. We do not understand why he did this to us." This is what happens when you have a third world country that hates Christians and hates anybody that's not Muslim, and you allow them to come into your country. Now, over in Denmark, a 17-year-old girl, get this, you guys are going to love this, 17-year-old girl was targeted by a Muslim Middle Eastern man or African man as she walked through Sandberg. She was knocked to the ground by her attacker, who tried to rip her clothes off and rape her. She used pepper spray on the man to bring the assault to an end. She managed to prevent the man from attacking any further by spraying the substance on him, and he ran off. However, Denmark is saying that it's illegal to use pepper spray, and the teenage girl is now set to face charges. Local police spokesperson Cud Kernsten said it's illegal to possess and use pepper spray, and she will be charged for that. The man who attacked the girl fled from the scene and has, of course, not been charged. From what she said, he was an asylum seeker that looked Middle Eastern or African descent. The case is for controversy in Denmark, where there's been increased reports of sexual harassment towards women on a weekly basis. Earlier this month, several females reported harassment by the aggressive sexual nature of male refugees by a local asylum center. Also, too, now, it has prompted several nightclubs in Sandberg to bar people from entering unless they can speak Danish, German, or English. The language requirements have reportedly been put in place in several establishments in the wake of significant amount of foreign men in groups harassing and molesting female guests. So we have reached a point now in Denmark, sad as it is, that this 17-year-old girl is assaulted, brought to the ground by a migrant, undressed and potentially almost raped, and she pepper sprays this guy, and now she's being charged with illegal possession of pepper spray. This, again, is what happens when a tyrannical government is allowed to disarm its population. And I use the term allowed very, very clearly. You allow yourself to be disarmed. You allow yourself to be left at the mercy of a tyrannical government, and that is exactly what we're seeing now. As more third world populations increase in the United States, in Europe, in Denmark, in Sweden, all over the world now, they are brought in by the warfare of the United States, brought on usually by the behest of Israel. After we bomb these countries into oblivion, we now say it's a humanitarian crisis, and we need to import those same population that we just bombed to oblivion, which obviously I wonder why they hate us, not to mention the religion calls for them to hate us. We input them into our country, into our society, and then we tell them they need to get along, and if we disagree or don't like them coming into our country, even though they're raping our women and completely taking over the country, they call us Islamophobic, they call us bigoted racist. This is the Cloward and Piven strategy to bring down the United States and every other industrialized country in the world, because out of the ashes they want to bring about a new world order. Stay frosty, my friends, and never let yourself be disarmed. That is how I feel about that, Ben.
Austin, that was excellent, bud. I mean, I couldn't say any better. And to tie right back into the Cloward and Piven, we've got to go right back to the Frankfurt School and how it tied in together with the CIA. I mean, right now, this is another article by Paul Joseph Watson, and it says, "Feminist says families must be abolished to dismantle capitalism." These are hardcore communist, feminist Luciferians. Now, I mean, let me stop for a second. They may not all be Luciferians. They may not be out there, you know, drinking blood and all kinds of weird stuff that some of these higher-ups do. But they've bought into the lie. They're basically training and they're programming from a very young age because of the Frankfurt School teaching that came together with the OSS, which turned into the CIA back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. It led to this. And so this person is saying they're calling it heteronormativity. Or there you go. I think they make this stuff up. Heteronormativity of family relations, which means normal relationships, not homosexual relationships, of family relations, must be reversed. this feminist Sophie Lewis has written a new book in which she argues that in order to dismantle capitalism, it is necessary to abolish the family. Lewis was interviewed by a left-wing website, The Nation, under the headline, "Want to Dismantle Capitalism? Abolish the Family." According to the piece, patriarchy, a capitalism combined to produce alienated workers who have become instruments of production for the men lorded over him. This is right from the Kabbalah. This is right from Karl Marx. This is Karl Marx teaching, guys. Right from this. This led to the heteronormativity of familial relations that must be combated by the radical reconceptualization of pregnancy itself. I don't even know what that means. If by this point you're wondering what the heck any of this is about, don't worry, you're not alone. Until now, the family unit has to be abolished isn't even explained. Lewis argues that pregnant women are subject to biological and societal violence. I don't know what that means. I guess that they have a parasite in them, and that the ostensibility feminist projection to surrogacy, which means the woman having a baby, arrangements, underwrites the ossified and the alienated familial relations that make capitalism possible. Well, if you're confused by any of the stuff that I'm saying to you this morning, my friends, yes, so am I. This lady's nuts. And, you know, her demons inside of her are controlling her. And again, she gets national attention. She gets national attention because the national media is controlled by these same communists, the same group of people who have done all of this throughout all of the time since Genesis chapter 6, the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen, Lucifer's progeny. Same group runs the planet. It's so funny because when I sent that information to that pastor, who, by the way, told me I must be bored by sending out information on how gay, pro-gay Trump is, I thought, wait a minute, you're promoting Trump as if he is the Messiah in flesh return, as if Jesus Christ has come back to save us, and you're not seeing anything he does. And when I point out something he actually states and does, you think he's yanking the media's chain. I mean, guys, this is what happened with George Bush. This is what happened with George Bush. This is what happened with the Frankfurt School saying they had to destroy the national family, the groups of people that basically put us together. This is what they want to do, and how they live. And this is why we know that the CIA controls the media. Now, one other thing I want to teach you guys this morning is the CIA also used modern art as a weapon. Now, why would they do that? This is an article from The Independent. I have it posted on our website. It says, revealed how the spy agency used unwitting artists such as Pollock and de Kooning in a cultural Cold War. This is an article by Francis Saunders. It says, for decades in art circles, it was either a rumor or a joke, but now it is confirmed as a fact. The Central Intelligence Agency used the American modern art, including the works of such artists as Jackson Pollock, Robert Motherwell, William de Kooning, and Mark Rothko as a weapon in the Cold War. In a manner of Renaissance prince excerpt that it added secrecy, the CIA fostered and promoted American abstract expressionist painting around the world for more than 20 years. Now, why would they do this? Why would they do this? Okay? This was back in the 50s and the 60s when the majority of Americans disliked or even despised modern art, which I still do. President Truman summed it up in a popular view when he said, if that's art, then I'm a hottentot, whatever that means. As for the artists themselves, many were ex-communists, barely acceptable in America of the McCarthyite era, and certainly not the sort of people normally likely to receive U.S. government backing. Now, why did they do this? Because this was part of the cultural degradation of America. Now, I'm going to stop here for one second. I'm going to say something that may shock you guys a little bit, but I'm just going to have to say it anyhow. This is the same thing they did in Germany in World War I, after World War I, with the Weimar Republic. The same group of communists, Soviets, came into Germany, and they started putting in modern art. And they were doing it to degrade cultural acceptance and norms. If you look at a Rembrandt painting, it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunningly beautiful. You get this new stuff out, and you're kind of like, this looks like stupid. Like this, I remember when they used to just throw paint on a white board and say, this is art, you know, with a paintbrush. And you think, oh, this is so beautiful, it'll sell for millions of dollars. You're like, my kid could have done this finger painting in the backyard, and I wouldn't have to pay millions of dollars. The CIA, after it left the OSS, saw this cultural degradation taking place in Europe. Now, one thing that Hitler did that was right. I'm not saying that I'm a Hitler fan, because I'm not. Okay, is that he saw the cultural degradation of art and refused to promote it. And one thing that people don't understand, and they, and you're going to learn this from me today, unless you've been listening to the show for a long time, because I mentioned a few years ago, is the primary stuff that Hitler burned, as far as the books and the art and all the stuff in Germany that he did, the book burning phase, it wasn't the old works from old scholars. It was the new stuff coming in from the communists out of Russia, including pornography. Now you're gonna have to, you gotta just look it up. You can go ahead and just, Berlin had turned into a cesspool because of the pornographers and the cultural degradation that had occurred in Berlin. They were having sex with animals on the stage in cabarets. I mean, sick. I mean, perverted stuff that you can't even imagine. And he saw this all as part of the cultural degradation of the art and the society of Europe. This is one of the primary reasons that he had book burning parties. Now, am I saying that we should be burning books? No, I don't think we should be burning books, but there's a lot of things you sure don't need to be looking at. You sure don't need to be looking at it. The same group of people came over here in the United States and started our Hollywood industry and started the pornography industry. And you sure don't need to be looking at that either. And so would you think it better, we'd have been better off if Playboy had never existed, if Gloria Steinem had never existed? Absolutely yes. Would we have been better off if cultural degradation hadn't occurred through the arts? Absolutely yes. And see, this is the point that we try to make on this show. We've got to look at the history of what happened, why it happened, who we are from it, and what it's done to us. You know, Chuck Baldwin said it so succinctly on our show one time. He goes, because we've accepted all of this stuff in the past 70 years, are we better off as a nation because we've accepted this garbage? I mean, New York State now has full-term abortions, and like Austin said last week, now they're talking about having the baby laying on the table and discussing with the mother while they keep the baby comfortable, whatever that means, whether or not they want to basically let the baby die. How did we come to this level of perversion? You have to ask yourself that question. And it's from the Frankfurt School. It's from this group of people, these communists, who don't want to believe in our God, who at the root core is Satanism, who wants to turn everything upside down. This is what we're doing with bringing all the migrants into Europe. It's cultural degradation. The girl in Denmark is about to be raped, about to be attacked. She sprays the guy with pepper spray so she's not raped. She's going to probably go to jail. The migrant's taken off. He's not going to be charged for anything. I mean, this is how they're not even allowing you to defend yourself now. They'd rather just have you be raped. This is what we've run into now because of this communist infiltration, because of the OSS, because of the CIA, because of the Frankfurt School, because of MKUltra, because of the Scofield Bible commentary that was promoted through the Oxford Press. It's because of this stuff that we've accepted it. The open use of witchcraft and gematria in Christian churches as people are prayed for in a foreign tongue, holding up their hand with the Vulcan hand sign, which is pure gematria. We've accepted all of this stuff because we don't understand where it came from, and we've been taught that if you don't accept this, you're a bigot or you're a racist. I'm not saying the Holocaust didn't happen. I'm not saying that. I believe millions of people died in Europe, and I believe there are a lot of people died in those slave labor camps. I believe that. I have no idea what the total count is, but I believe that. But what I am saying is this. The globalists who run the money supply have used the Holocaust as their example of what happens when you have a bias towards a group of people and how you have to be a bigot or a racist if you feel like somebody maybe not should be in your country who doesn't have the same values that you have. In other words, if we have an entire country coming in of people who want to kill all the Christians, there's probably a pretty good idea that we don't need them here. But you can't say that anymore because that makes you a racist and that makes you a Holocaust denier. And my response is, how does that make you a Holocaust denier? Where did that come from? It's just what these guys do. They twist the narrative. That's why I quit going on shows back in the 90s and the early 2000s as a guest, which was going to be in a debate format, because they never address the issues. If you say to them, you know, I really believe that you need to have people go through quarantine when they come into this country before they bring in all types of infectious diseases into the United States, now you're a racist, now you're a bigot, now you're a homophobe, and they don't address the issue about infectious disease spread in the United States. They won't talk about that. They only address the fact that you feel as though that may not be a good idea to bring these people in. You think, well, that doesn't make any sense. I agree with you. It doesn't make any sense at all. But that's what they do. They just twist the narrative, and then if they tape the show, they break you into sound bites to make you sound like you're nuts. They'll use, you'll give a 3-minute explanation of something, and they take the first 20 seconds, and they cut it out, and then they put their own explanation behind it, making you sound like you've lost it, and you'd be put in a little short bus with a little padded room. This is the problem that we have in media today. So that's why I bring it back to you one more time to the first, to the beginning of the show. Why is Candace Owens being promoted? She's marrying a man out of Oxford. Okay. Why is she being promoted? Why was she taken off Facebook and Facebook profusely apologized, said, we made a mistake, put her back up again? I'll tell you why. Because they took down the wrong girl. This girl has a backer, and there's a reason. She has tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of views. There's a reason that search engines push her to the top with all of these searches that you do. Austin, what do you think?
That's very well said, no doubt about it. Also, too, another news as far as that I saw out west now, this is very strange as we've seen this very odd weather. You know, California's been getting rain back and forth. They're supposed to get more rain again now, repeatedly for the rest of the month. Now, central United States, Texas, Oklahoma, you guys know they had severe flooding 3-4 weeks ago. They had more storms, horrific storms over the weekend with tons of tornadoes. Now, AccuWeather Extreme is saying that the worst setup for severe weather that they've seen in years is occurring again. They've issued over 50 preliminary reports across the central United States that there's going to be more tornadoes on the way in central United States now. More flooding, more water everywhere. And what's interesting about this is, you know, at the same time, all this stuff is going on. Now, whether or not this is being done intentionally, I can't prove that. I've told you guys before my stance on HARP and weather modification and everything else. I know it's very real. I've seen and read the documentation on it. One individual I saw, though, earlier was actually writing something about 5G as well, which I found this to be very interesting. She said, it was Kelly Eldham, and this is interesting. She says, severe weather is part of an electromagnetic ionic event, and we're having unprecedented flooding along with everything else all over the country lately. What would the effect be by pumping the air full of electromagnetic 5G waves 24 hours a day? The weather is only to grow worse. But due to these electromagnetic fields, the weather follows the law, physical law. Add hundreds of sources of positively charged ions to the air day and night, 24/7, and the weather will be changed. There's no way around it. This many dozens of tornadoes aren't a freak of nature. They're what's guaranteed to happen when you start doing this. The Midwest is getting pounded from the north and south with southern patterns coming all from 5G cities. In the north, Minneapolis and Chicago produce flooding in Naperville and Davenport. So whether or not she's accurate or not, I don't know. But again, we see that, I mean, the level of storms, forest fires, all this stuff that's been going on for the last couple of years seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. Is it being fully controlled? I don't know. Is 5G is being used as a weapon? That's probably pretty accurate. As we told you guys before, 5G is a weapon warfare system. 6G is the next step to what 5G is, simply just a stair step. 5G is to get the infrastructure in place. I told you guys that report a couple months ago with one of the individuals that was instrumental in bringing 5G to market, and he said 6G is where it's at. 6G is what we want. 6G is so we can have your cell phone implanted into your brain so you can access your phone and make phone calls right out of your brain. That's what he flat out says. That's 6G. 6G is to encompass you in an entire electronic internet of things all the time. You don't even have to run around with electronics. The electronics will be instilled in you. You'll get a chip, and the 6G will transmit it directly into your brain and interface with your brain. That's what they say with 6G. So we have a level of technology here that's not going to stop, and it's going to continue to become more and more and more and more and more aggressive. Also, too, in other health news, one research has been getting a lot of attention in the last year or so. It's been the connection between gut and brain health, and I've talked about this repeatedly. This is one of the reasons why we have the three different probiotic formulas that we have at Health Masters. The study, which was published in Nature Microbiology, the researchers looked at the fecal microbe data of more than 1,000 people who enrolled in the Flemish Gut Flora Project. They pooled this data with data on depression diagnosis in the hope of exploring the link between gut bacteria, depression, and quality of life. Of looking at more than 500 different bacteria that were isolated from the human GI tract, they found that people suffering from depression had persistent two levels of two gut bacteria in particular. This was true even among those who took antidepressants. An independent cohort of more than 1,000 people who took part in the Dutch Lifelines Deep in clinically depressed patients were used to validate the results. It's an exciting finding that could lead to a probiotic-based treatment for depression, they say. Recent discoveries about the brain-gut axis could lead some promising new treatments for mental health problems. The intestines act as their own nervous system that generates similar neurotransmitters to those created by the brain, such as serotonin and melatonin. And it's believed that the brain and gut communicate with one another. Just as feeling anxious or depressed can give you an upset stomach, poor GI conditions can lead to depression or anxiety. Therefore, it stands to reason that probiotics that bring the gut microbe back into balance could possibly address these issues. They had brain imaging in one of these studies that showed that people who took probiotics experienced changes in part of their brain that involved their mood. Now think about that for a second. You're taking probiotics, which have pretty much for the longest period of time always been thought to help with digestion. They help the gut. But now they're finding when you take probiotics, it's actually changing and stimulating parts of the brain that affect mood. Researchers are also exploring whether probiotics can address issues such as bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and possibly autism. Other factors can also influence mental health issues as well, as we've talked about. That can be include lack of exercise, also GMO foods, aspartame, nutrient deficiencies, like not having a proper multiple in your life, and of course, excessive stress and pharmaceutical exposure. But again, this is so important. This is why we pretty much, you know, a lot of times people email me and they say, well, I know you guys got three probiotics. And I said, it's not that they're one preferred over the other, as far as it's really depending on what you want. We kind of have good, better, best, and that's how it kind of goes with those. We have our base one that a lot of people take just as a daily basis, which is 30 billion. We have our 100 billion one, which is an incredibly aggressive formula, which is great for a lot of people that are having issues. And then we have the 350 billion, which is actually, at time of manufacturing, is 650 billion. Billion colony forming units per serving, which is, like I said, beyond anything I've ever seen on the market before that we've been able to produce with this lab. And so this is a formula that is incredibly effective. I've seen incredibly good results from it, and especially people that have been on antibiotics for an extended period of time and absolutely have to have additional probiotics at a very elevated rate as quickly as possible to help with overall gut health. So again, more research is showing that probiotics are so important for overall health, not just the gut, but including the brain, just overall everything. So it's something I wanted to bring up again today, Deb.
You know, Austin, last year, I haven't really told people this, but this is something that I'm just going to discuss with you guys now for a second. Sharon was put on an antibiotic protocol last year because of a lung infection, sinus infection. And the doctor who did this, basically now, may he rest in peace, he's dead. He's 53 years old. And she ended up basically ending up with with H. pylori in her gut. And it devastated her intestinal tract. And it basically gave her a peptic ulcer on top of everything else. I mean, before it was over with, this drug actually causes peptic ulcers, this antibiotic. And what ended up happening is we fought this all last summer trying to get this thing corrected. It came back on her again in December, and we finally, you know, we got her on a H. pylori protocol, and we had to use antibiotics this time, and we got rid of it. But I will say this to you, her cognitive skills, her moods, everything, she got depressed. And this is my wife who never gets depressed. I've been married to her for 35 years. She got depressed. She started aging very quickly. She became very lethargic. She no longer was demonstrative. She became very quiet, withdrawn, depressed, sucking down 5-HTP. Finally, we got her through the H. pylori kills phase and got her better. I cannot emphasize to you how important gut health is to you that are listening to me right now. I cannot emphasize the importance of not eating GMO foods. You have to eat organic. GMOs destroy the gut lining. The gut lining, the intestinal lining, all of these things have a direct interdimensional scalar wave interface to your brain. Remember, our body has part of our DNA is in this dimension, part of it's in another dimension. We are an interdimensional interface. And it talks to itself via scalar waves and longitudinal waves from the brain to the stomach. by these bacteria in your intestinal tract and by your gut health. You have to eat clean. If you have problems with your immune system, it's probably a gut issue. If you have problems with your health, it's probably a gut intestinal issue. If you have problems with depression, there's a very, very high probability it's a gut intestinal colon issue. And so that's why Austin said we have the highest quality probiotics. We have to bring this stuff in out of Belgium. We can't even get it made with this kind of concentration here in the United States. We have the highest quality. I mean, other people have, they have a billion. We have a billion certified units. When we make ours, it's a 650 billion. We put 350 billion on the label because we have to make sure there's 350 billion left at the end of a year as far as for shelf life. So that's what we put on there, 350 billion. It's like if you take one of their capsules with a billion, it's like taking 350 of ours. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, that's how high quality our stuff is and how concentrated it is. But you got to start, too, drinking purified water. You can't be putting chlorine through your system. It kills all the stuff. You can't be putting fluoride through your system. It kills all the stuff. You can't be putting diet sodas through your system. It kills all the stuff. You can't be living on antibiotics. It kills all the stuff and the good stuff and everything else. It just kills everything in your gut. Make sure that you're on a good probiotic every single day. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I had the opportunity, the privilege to pray for you guys again this morning. You guys are awesome. Absolutely amazing. Thanks for listening to the show. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for making Health Masters, one of the largest, health supplement, natural supplements, in the area. Thank you for helping to make our radio show one of the largest alternative talk shows in the area. Thank you so much for the millions of you who listen to the show on a regular basis and know that we're telling you guys the truth. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Yes, guys. And, again, thank you so much for the continued support. Be sure if you guys need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com. We have the CBD oil, the organic hemp-derived CBD oil. We finally got the approval and everything cleared with our third-party lab testing. Had a lot of people waiting on that, and I appreciate the support, and I really appreciate the patience on it. We completely are set on trying to produce the highest quality CBD oil that is pure as it gets, and that's exactly why I put this together. There are so many other companies that I've looked at that people aren't getting the results they want. I have probably a dozen or more emails from people who say, I've been taking this brand, I'm not going to mention the names because I don't want to start anything, and they go, man, they're double the dosage, three times the dosage, and I'm not getting like any results from them anymore at all, and I take yours, and I'm getting great results already with just, one dropper. That's because it actually has what we say it has in it. So thank you for the support. The 300 can be used. Obviously, you can take multiple droppers a day. If you wanted to go to 600 milligrams, 900 milligrams, 1200 milligrams, whatever dosage you need of CBD hemp oil a day, use the droppers. I'm also going to be putting together probably a three-pack bottle special, a kit. So basically, people that want to buy it in bulk that are using it essentially for a heavily used nutrient every single day in large dosages, you can get a bigger bulk price on it. So thank you so much for the support. Also, too, be sure to check out the Cortisol Buster on sale and the GHI Cleanse on sale for product of the week, and vote for the next product that you want to see win on Wednesday. Thank you so much for all the support, guys. We love you. We appreciate you. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.